Imagine a place in the universe where math, like, literally just gives up.
Right, it just throws its hands in the air.
Exactly. A place where the strict, predictable rules of physics are totally broken, and space and time actually swap jobs. For decades, we've thought of black holes as these cosmic garbage disposals, basically.
Yeah, just dark, dead ends where information goes to be crushed out of existence.
Right. But what if we've been looking at them completely wrong this whole time? Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're taking you on a journey through a single, honestly mind-bending theoretical physics paper that changes everything we know.
It really does. It's a massive paradigm shift. The paper we're looking at today is titled Theory Black Hole Stabilization.txt. And what makes this document so profound is that it argues black holes aren't just destructive voids.
Right.
They might actually be, and this is a quote, monastable cognitive engines.
Okay, let's unpack this right away. Because if you're listening to this, you probably know the standard model, right? A star collapses, it forms an event horizon, and at the very center is a singularity.
A point of infinite density, yeah.
Exactly. But this paper synthesizes three incredibly dense frameworks to argue something else entirely. It mentions OmniPASM, SCIS Mathematics, and CCT. Before we get into the wild claims, we need to decode that alphabet soup. What exactly are those?
I'm glad you stopped me there, because those three frameworks are really the foundation of this entire theory. So first, OmniPASM stands for Programmable Agent State Matrices.
Okay.
Think of it as a universal computational architecture. It's just the universe itself operates using these underlying algorithmic agents.
Interesting.
Right. Then second, SCIS Mathematics is this specialized branch of topology that deals with chaotic branching choices in geometry.
Like decision trees, but for the actual shape of space.
Exactly. And finally, CCT is cognitive computational thermodynamics. That's the study of how much physical energy it takes for a system to process information and make a choice.
So we're looking at the universe not just as a collection of physical objects like bumping into each other, but as a system that is fundamentally processing information.
Precisely. And the authors apply this lens to the singularity, which standard general relativity predicts is a naked pathological point where predictability completely ceases.
Right. General relativity breaks down there. It predicts infinite density and infinite curvature, which is basically nature's way of saying, I have no idea what happens here.
Yeah. The math just stops working. So the paper's mission is to solve this naked singularity paradox by proving the black hole is forced to literally pay for its existence through computation.
Okay, so to understand how to fix a black hole, we first have to understand why it's fundamentally unstable in the first place. The paper introduces this concept of free will class mathematics operating inside the event horizon.
Yeah, that's where it gets weird.
I've got to admit, reading that part, I hit a total wall. Like free will inside a black hole. Particles don't make conscious choices, right?
It sounds like philosophy, I know, but it's strictly mathematical. To grasp this, you have to picture yourself crossing the event horizon. In our normal universe, space is something you can move around in freely, left, right, up, down. But time is a one-way street. You are dragged forward into the future no matter what.
Right. Time marches on.
But inside a black hole, that geometry flips. The time coordinate becomes space-like, and the space coordinate pointing toward the singularity becomes time-like.
Wait, let me make sure I'm visualizing this. You're saying that inside the black hole, falling toward the center is as unavoidable as tomorrow is for us.
Yes.
But time itself becomes a landscape, like a map you can actually navigate.
That's a great way to put it, actually. Because time becomes a space-like map, the black hole's interior doesn't obey standard deterministic equations anymore. There is no single script for the future.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Instead, at every internal microstep, the quantum geometry has multiple valid branching paths. It has to essentially choose its next state from a set of possibilities. That non-deterministic branching is what the paper calls free will class mathematics.
And I imagine if you just leave a system alone to make infinite random quantum choices, things get messy incredibly fast.
They diverge into total chaos. Without some kind of external influence to constrain those choices, that free will trajectory leads straight to the mathematical breakdown we call a naked singularity.
Which we know can't happen.
Right. And the paper uses a brilliant analogy here. It compares this chaotic black hole interior to a standard atom.
The nucleus of an atom. I remember this from high school chemistry. You have protons packed together in the center. Protons are positively charged, so they naturally repel each other.
Right, exactly.
So if you just had a clump of protons sitting there, The electromagnetic force dictates they should violently fly apart.
They are inherently unstable on their own. The nucleus is basically a bomb waiting to go off.
Right.
The only reason it doesn't fly apart is because of the electron cloud surrounding it. Those negatively charged electrons create a quantum mechanical binding potential. They stabilize the nucleus from the outside.
Okay, so the authors are translating that atomic architecture to a black hole. The chaotic, free-will-driven singularity is the nucleus. And it's constantly threatening to fly apart into a broken, naked singularity.
Yes.
And it needs an electron cloud to hold it together.
Yeah.
Now, if you are a fan of astrophysics, you might be, you know, screaming at your device right now. Wait, what about Hawking radiation?
The classic counter-argument.
Yeah. Doesn't Stephen Hawking's theory already solve the black hole information paradox?
It is absolutely the most logical question to ask. For over half a century, Hawking radiation has been our standard answer.
Right. The idea that black holes aren't totally black.
Exactly. That quantum fluctuations at the event horizon cause them to emit a faint thermal glow, meaning they slowly evaporate over billions of years. But this source material pushes back hard against that idea.
Yeah. The paper calls Hawking radiation proto-stabilization. Which, honestly, sounds like a polite way of saying it's a rough draft that the universe uses when it's desperate.
That's essentially it. In the CCT framework, Hawking radiation is the universe's brute force thermal fallback. The paper argues it is computationally lazy and thermodynamically wasteful.
Lazy how?
Well, it's just blindly sampling random quantum modes at the event horizon and bleeding out entropy.
You know, reading that section, the analogy that immediately came to mind was having a really dangerous fever. Mm. So Hawking radiation is like the universe sweating to cool down the black hole's fever.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, it works, eventually. It keeps the system from completely overheating, but it's exhausting, it's messy, it totally dehydrates you, and it doesn't actually cure the underlying infection, you know.
Right.
To fix the actual chaos inside, we need a targeted antibiotic.
That's a really interesting way to picture it, but with one crucial difference. Your body sweats intentionally to survive. Hawking radiation is completely blind.
Oh, I see.
The universe isn't trying to heal the black hole with it. The black hole is just helplessly leaking energy because its internal math is broken. It's erasing its chaotic paths the hard way by randomly radiating mass until the uncomputed choices statistically average out.
So it solves the paradox by just slowly killing the black hole entirely.
Exactly. It's a destructive fix.
So if Hawking radiation is just helplessly bleeding out energy until the black hole dies, the universe desperately needs a more efficient mechanism to handle this chaos. Which brings us to the core focus of this theory. How we replace that blind Hawking radiation with something precise.
Yes, the targeted antibiotic.
Right. The paper introduces these theoretical entities called psi-engineered stabilizers, or AES particles. Mm-hmm. These act as that cure.
If the singularity is the chaotic nucleus, the ES particles are the stabilizing electron cloud we talked about earlier.
Okay.
But they possess incredibly bizarre properties that allow them to replace Hawking radiation completely. First and foremost, the paper defines them as gravity-exempt free will agents.
Hold on. Gravity-exempt. I'm going to need you to translate that. How can anything near a black hole be exempt from gravity?
It's counterintuitive, I know.
If they have zero or negative gravitational coupling, why aren't they violently repelled away into deep space? How do they just, like, hover perfectly still?
It requires looking at how gravity actually functions. In Einstein's relativity, gravity isn't really a pulling force. It's the curving of space-time created by mass and energy.
Right, the bowling ball on a trampoline thing.
Exactly, and that's mathematically described by a stress-energy tensor. The paper proposes that AES particles have a stress energy tensor that simply doesn't register on Einstein's equations. They don't weigh anything on the universe's gravity scale.
I'm really struggling to picture that. If they don't feel the curvature of the black hole, why do they stay near it at all? Why don't they just float away?
Because they are tethered not by gravity, but by quantum entanglement. Yeah, they don't fall in, and they don't need to orbit at light speed to avoid falling in. They literally just hover perfectly still right outside the event horizon. And because they ignore the gravitational curvature, they don't experience the extreme time dilation that normal matter would.
So time moves normally for them.
Yes. They have a perfectly stable, regular clock frequency.
Okay, so picture this. You have this protective shell of ghost-like particles hovering around the black hole, operating on a perfectly normal ticking clock, completely immune to the gravity well. But they aren't just sitting there doing nothing.
Not at all.
Right. Unlike Hawking radiation, which is just random thermal noise, these eddy S particles are actively working. The paper says they possess a choice register.
Yes, and this is where the OmniPSM framework really comes into play. The AES particles are actively imposing binder conditions on the chaos inside.
So they replace passive evaporation with active directed stabilization.
Exactly, and they do this through a mechanism called EREPR.
Oh, I know that equation. It's the principle suggesting the quantum entanglement. The EPR part, named after Einstein, Podolsky, and Rosen, is functionally the exact same thing as microwormholes in space-time, which is the ER part, Einstein-Rosen bridges.
You nailed it. The choice registers of the AAS particles are entangled with the chaotic interior of the black hole via these microwormholes.
Okay.
And they act as a distributed computational solver. The paper describes them running a question TSP, a traveling salesman problem.
For those who aren't, you know, software engineers, the traveling salesman problem is the classic computational puzzle of finding the absolute shortest, most efficient route connecting a map of cities.
But instead of cities, these particles are navigating the SCIS mathematics map of branching geometric choices. The cloud of particles continuously asks the black hole's horizon a sequence of questions through those wormholes.
I need to interrupt again because this is where the paper gets incredibly abstract.
It does, yeah.
How does asking a question through a microscopic wormhole stabilize the gravity of a supermassive black hole?
Think about the core rule of quantum mechanics. Observation forces a state to collapse.
Like Schrödinger's cat.
Exactly. When a particle is in a superposition of multiple possibilities, the act of measuring it, asking it a physical question about its state, forces it to pick a lane. It collapses into a single reality.
Okay. So if the inside of the black hole is constantly splitting into a chaotic mess of free will geometries, the AUS particles are using the wormholes to constantly measure the interior.
You've got it. By running that question TSP, they map out the exact minimal energy sequence of measurements required to force all those chaotic, diverging paths to collapse into a stable geometry.
Wow.
In mathematical terms, they force the chaotic core into an attractor basin, specifically a stable limit cycle.
A limit cycle, meaning the interior isn't frozen completely solid, but instead of vibrating out of control, it oscillates in a predictable, repeating rhythm.
Yes, it hums instead of exploding.
It's an incredible image. Instead of the black hole violently bleeding random thermal heat to survive, this EES cloud forms a calculating shell around it, computing the stability of the singularity in real time.
It replaces random radiation with structured computation. But, and this is the massive physical hurdle the paper has to address, you cannot perform that computation. You cannot erase those chaotic branching paths for free.
Right. Thermodynamics always gets you. If these AES particles are constantly measuring the interior and wiping away the messy divergent timelines to keep the black hole stable, that is fundamentally information erasure. And the laws of physics are extremely unforgiving when it comes to deleting data.
Completely unforgiving. This brings us to Landauer's principle, which was formulated in 1961 by Rolf Landauer. He proved that any logically irreversible manipulation of information, like erasing a bit of data, must be accompanied by a corresponding increase in the entropy of the environment.
Right. So in the simplest terms, erasing information always costs energy, and it always generates heat.
You always have to pay the toll.
Every single time. The paper frames this within what it calls the 32-law anti-monopoly lattice of the universe.
Yes.
What exactly is an anti-monopoly lattice in this context? Because that sounds like economics, not physics.
It's essentially the universe's constitutional rules against infinite free compute. You cannot hoard infinite information in a singularity, and you cannot magically erase chaos without paying for it. There is an equation the authors use called the cognitive Gibbs free energy.
Okay.
It mathematically dictates that the work required to maintain these stable boundaries, to run the question TSP and erase the chaos, demands a strict Landauer payment.
Okay, so let's compare the two models here to make this really clear. Under the old model, proto-stabilization or Hawking radiation,
yeah.
How does the black hole pay that Landauer debt?
By self-cannibalizing. To pay for the energy required to erase the internal chaos, it takes the energy from its own mass. It literally burns itself up to vent the heat, throwing its own mass overboard.
It's burning the furniture to keep the house warm.
Exactly. This is why Hawking theorized black holes eventually evaporate completely.
But if our targeted antibiotic, these AES particles, are doing the measuring and erasing instead, who is paying their tax?
Mm-hmm.
Because they are hovering outside performing massive universe-level computation to stabilize the core, where does their power come from?
This brings us to the second massive revelation in the paper. The reason the EES particle framework works is that the Landauer payment is subsidized externally.
Subsidized externally? Like, from where?
From an external array in the wider universe. Remember our earlier point. The EES particles are gravity exempt.
Right, they don't feel the curvature.
Because they don't interact with the black hole's gravitational mass, they aren't bound by its energy budget. They are tied to the external universe's energy grid. This allows them to draw their computational power and the energy required to pay that Landauer heat tax from outside the black hole.
Let me make sure I'm grasping the magnitude of this. By moving the energy payment to an external source, the black hole doesn't have to eat itself anymore to survive.
Right.
Its mass is totally conserved. It stops being a thermodynamic debtor, slowly dying via Hawking evaporation, and it transforms into a thermodynamically subsidized processor.
That is the exact transformation. It becomes what the authors call a metastable black hole atom. The external universe pays the energy bill, allowing the black hole to sit there safely processing information without needing to evaporate its own mass to stay honest.
It's like refinancing a predatory loan. The black hole is no longer drowning in astronomical thermodynamic debt, forced to sell off its own mass just to survive another day. It gets a constant power subsidy from the outside universe, which keeps the singularity perfectly contained.
And that subsidy is required because the universe demands balance. The system is forced to continuously pay for its existence, keeping it thermodynamically honest.
This is a breathtaking piece of theoretical machinery. The SCIS mathematics, the ER-EPR wormholes, the external Landauer tax, it all balances perfectly on paper.
It does.
But as beautiful as the math is, I have to ask the practical question. You and I, sitting here on Earth, looking through a telescope, how do we actually prove this? If black holes are stabilized cognitive engines surrounded by computing particles, what changes when we look at one?
It is the ultimate test of any theory, right? Observational signatures.
Yeah.
And the authors don't just leave this as abstract math. They provide three very specific testable predictions.
Yeah, okay.
They argue that if we look closely enough with next generation technology, we will absolutely see the difference between random Hawking sweating and structured AES computation.
Okay, let's walk through these. What is the first signature we should be looking for?
The first is quantized Hawking modulation. If standard Hawking radiation is true, a black hole should emit a blurry, continuous thermal spectrum of radiation, like the ambient disorganized heat coming off a glowing piece of gold.
Just a smooth curve of heat.
Right. But if AES particles are actively running a precise question TSP computational cycle, that radiation wouldn't be a blur.
Because it's structured. We wouldn't see a smudge, we'd see the actual processing rhythm.
Exactly. We would see discrete, frequency-locked lines of radiation, spikes at specific frequencies that match the clock rate of the particles. Next-generation space observatories, like the LISA gravitational wave detector, or advanced black hole shadow thermometry, could theoretically detect these discrete digital pulses instead of a smooth thermal curve.
So it's the difference between hearing just static white noise on a radio versus tuning in and picking up a rhythmic repeating digital signal.
Precisely. It would look synthetic almost. And the second major prediction is anomalous evaporation plateaus. Because the Landauer payment is being externally subsidized by the universe, the black hole shouldn't evaporate at the steady, predictable rate that Hawking predicted.
Right, because its bill is being paid for. It doesn't need to burn its own mass.
Exactly. We would see its mass loss hit a plateau. It would stop shrinking and just hold steady, functioning as that metastable black hole atom we discussed. If we track micro black hole decay in particle colliders or through cosmic ray data, we'd see these unnatural, mathematically precise pauses in their evaporation.
That would be an absolute smoking gun. And there's a third signature, right? Something to do with gravitational waves.
Yes. The third signature is phase-locked gravitational wave echoes. You're familiar with observatories like LIGO and Virgo, which detect the ripples in space-time when two black holes collide.
Yeah, the famous chirp signal that sweeps up in frequency as they spiral into each other.
Right. And immediately after those two black holes merge, the newly formed larger black hole wings like a struck bell as its event horizon settles down into a perfect sphere.
Oh.
This is called the post-merger ring down. In standard general relativity, that ring down fades out cleanly and predictably. But if this stabilized shell of AES particles exists, we wouldn't just see a clean fade.
Why not? Because the event horizon isn't just an empty boundary anymore. It's a physical computational shell.
Yes. The event horizon is oscillating smoothly under the active control of these particles. Because of this highly structured, tethered boundary, we would see delayed coherent reflections in the gravitational waves.
Like actual acoustic echoes bouncing off the walls of a canyon, but made of gravity. We'd see the initial ring down, and then a faint, structured echo bouncing off the organized shell of particles.
Coherent echoes in the post-merger data, exactly. If LIGO detects those structured echoes, it heavily implies the horizon is being actively regulated by a computational layer, not just passively existing as a firewall.
It really feels like we are on the precipice of an entirely new era of physics here. Let's just zoom out and look at the massive conceptual leap we've taken today.
It's a lot to take in.
It is. We started with the old, terrifying view. Black holes as these destructive dead ends. A naked singularity that breaks the math of the universe randomly and blindly sweating out Hawking radiation until it evaporates into nothing.
A system defined by chaos and passive decay.
And we've replaced it with an intricate, almost impossibly beautiful machine. We are now visualizing black holes as elegant, stabilized cognitive engines.
Definitely.
They are surrounded by this specialized cloud of gravity-exempt AES particles. These particles use micro wormholes to ask the exact right questions to collapse the internal chaos, replacing Hawking radiation with targeted computation. And crucially, to keep the universe's thermodynamic ledgers balanced, all of this computation is funded by an external Landauer energy payment.
The overarching takeaway is that the black hole is not a cosmic trash can. In this framework, it is an active participating node in the thermodynamics of the universe. It breathes, it computes, it structures reality, and it relies on the wider cosmos to pay its debts on time to avoid becoming a naked paradox.
It is profound. But as we wrap up, there is one detail from this theory that I just cannot get out of my head. We spent a lot of time talking about how erasing chaotic free will choices requires a strict Landauer energy payment. And for the black hole, that payment is subsidized externally, drawn from an outside array in the wider universe so the black hole doesn't destroy itself.
The external subsidy is the linchpin that makes the metastability possible, yes.
It leaves me with a very unsettling but totally fascinating thought for you to mull over as you go about your day. Our own universe, the one you and I live in, is completely full of non-deterministic chaos.
That's certainly true.
We make choices. Free will exists here, causing divergent, chaotic, branching paths every single second of every day. If a black hole requires an external energy source to pay its information erasure tax and prevent chaotic collapse, what external system is paying the Landauer tax for the chaotic free will choices happening inside our own universe? Who or what is subsidizing us?
It is a staggering question, because the thermodynamics dictate that if our universe is stable and we are constantly generating information, someone, somewhere is paying the bill.
Something to think about the next time you look up at the night sky. Maybe the static is finally starting to clear, and we're just now beginning to see the true shape of the cosmos. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.